Welcome to Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding podcast, where the power of words becomes a bridge between worlds. In this podcast, we embark on a dynamic exploration of the human experience, weaving a tapestry of diverse voices, stories, and perspectives. I am your host, Lavinia Richards. Join us on a journey that transcends boundaries, fostering connection, empathy, and a deeper understanding of the rich mosaic that defines us all. Get ready to reflect, resonate, and embark on a transformative odyssey through the art of conversation. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome, welcome, welcome to Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. Listen, we're going to be talking about a powerful topic today. And the title of our topic is Strength, the Role of Resilience from Urban Struggles to Educational Triumphs. And so today we are going to be talking to someone who is very near and dear to my heart. She is a family member, but she is also a woman of resilience, and she is my cousin, Nisha G. So let me go ahead and bring her up. Welcome, 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 Ms. Nisha G. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am amazing. Listen, I want to thank you for coming on, you know, again, we always chopping it up. This is what we do, you know. So once again, we in the lab just chopping it up, right? You know, raw, uncut, you know, no sugarcoating. It is what it is. But we gonna get to the root of this. And before we do, though, just tell a little bit, the people a little bit about who Nisha G is before we get started.
Well, I'm 44. I graduated high school at the age of 42. The summer after I graduated high school, I went to Ivy Tech. Now I got my entrepreneurship certification. And then the fall after that, I ended up enrolling in a herbalist school. So now I'm a master herbalist. I finished in December. And June 14th is my actual graduation, though.
That's what's
so
up.
I'm a master herbalist.
Yeah. I love that. That's the bomb.
Thank you.
I love that. So, cousin, listen, we're going to dive right into it. Because I do know, and one of the things that I do know is that you lost your mom, right? And so we're going to start there because I think it is a huge segue. I mean, and you can dive into whatever you need to do with that. But I think it's a huge segue because we talked about, again, strength, the role of resilience from urban struggles to educational triumph. So being in an urban area and all of that, you know, we all have our struggles and things like that. But some people don't know what that's like to lose their mom, right? So the question that I have for you is, can you share with us the emotional journey of overcoming the loss of your mom and how it shaped your path forward?
Well, I lost my mother when I was 21 years old. And when I was 15, my parents, they ended up having my brother. So at that point, I had, after my mother passed, I ended up taking my brother in, raising him, because my dad went through his own little thing or whatever. So I ended up raising him. He graduated high school, went to college for a little bit, but he just went for him. But now he's a truck driver. He'll be 30 this year. No children, no felonies, nothing like that. So I feel like I did a pretty good job with him, considering I was only 21 when he, you know, came into my home. And just losing my mother, me and my mother were very, very, very close. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know. I think I was just on autopilot, you know, because shortly after my mother passed, I had my oldest son. So it was just like, I was existing, but I wasn't living. But I knew that now I have two children that I'm taking care of, which was my brother and my son. And they had to be taken care of, period. You know, right. So I went to work and came home, and that was it. You know, make sure they was cool, cook for them, you know, help the house clean and stuff like that. But, you know, I wasn't living at all, just existing.
That's powerful. And that's a segue into my other question, too, because, you know, you talked about having your brother at 21 and then now you having your own child as well. So now you're an instant mom, right? Instant, off the gate. So raising your brother amidst personal loss and urban challenges, though, must have been incredibly difficult. We know that, like, period. But how did you navigate through those challenging times?
Honestly, I mean, people call it source, God, the higher power. That's the only way I feel like I got it, you know, to this point, because I honestly don't know. But I will say this, that my mother, she was such an incredible teacher, for one. She taught me how to cook, how to bake and everything. And it was almost like maybe she knew she was going to leave me at an early age, because she instilled in me so many things, like how to fill out a checkbook. Like at 10 years old, I knew how to balance a checkbook because my mother taught me that. She taught me how to go in there and pay bills and stuff, because, you know, you use checks back in, you know, the 90s and stuff. Right. So she would have me, you know, paying bills, like I said, teaching me how to cook at a very young age, bake, all that, you know what I mean? Just like really preparing me for her absence. I honestly feel that, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I'm definitely grateful for that, because it made me, you know, the woman that I am today, definitely.
Right. And that's deep, because, you know, you have to find some sort of strength within. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that's hard to do, man, when you're going through and you're trying to survive. It's like you said, you don't even realize that you're doing it because you're in the heart of it, you know? And so you just in survival mode. Like you said, I'm existing right now. I'm just trying to make it to the next day. Like, I don't know how I did it, right? But then when you look back in retrospect, you know, it's like your grit, your grind with what your mom or your parents instilled in you, you know, all of those things that you didn't even know you were capable of, you know, which is powerful in and of itself. Now, what I want to ask you, though, is living in an urban area without a diploma presents its own set of obstacles, right? We know that, period. But what inspired you to go back to school, and what was that experience like for you?
Okay, so raising my children, my brother and everything, education was big for me. And I was a preschool teacher. I was a preschool teacher for 17 years. So, I mean, I love to teach. And I just tell them, look, because it's only me taking care of y'all. Mm-hmm. So if the school call me, they call me because y'all the best student ever.
No, but for real.
Or they take me to the hospital because, you know, something happened on the playground or whatever. But there's no gray area, because if I got to leave my job to handle you, they already know. I'd be like, y'all going to meet Bonquisha, and they know, exactly that's who that is. Because Bonquisha don't play, and I'm going to live up to that.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I never got any calls. Either way, mm-hmm. No calls. So, yeah. So I was like, how? So my son in 2020, he was graduating, my oldest son, he was graduating high school. Mm-hmm. And I was so, you know, proud of him. You know, had a little struggles getting there, just because it's not that he's very intelligent, just lazy, you know. And I was like, how can I be so, you know, demanding of you're going to graduate and you're graduating on time, ain't no summer school, none of that. You're graduating when you're supposed to, period. And I don't even have this piece of paper. You know?
Yeah.
And so a friend of mine, she hit me up one day and she was like, you know what, Nisha, we should go ahead and get our diplomas. The Goodwills, they have a program or whatever that you can get your high school diploma. And I said, a diploma, not a GED, because I just like, I might as well put in effort, because to me, in my own, you know, my personal thoughts, mm-hmm. A diploma sounds better than a GED, you know? And I'm like, well, shoot, I'm at home not doing nothing that way, you know, because of the pandemic, everybody was shut in. So I signed up. And I ended it, I think my GPA was like a 3.4 or something like that. It was pretty high. Yeah. And, you know, I've always been like, even when I was in high school, like I said, I was in Japanese class, like I was in the, you know, quote unquote, smart classes or whatever, but I just didn't appreciate it then. And I don't even know what made me. And I think because I didn't have my diploma is what made me push my brother and my kids, you know, the way I did or do, because it's like, nah, y'all want to be doing this. You know what I mean? Y'all want, you know, better jobs. I mean, and, you know, just a better life.
So that's powerful. And I love that you decided that you were going to be the example.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not be the person to stick to that old outdated thinking, do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, absolutely not.
Right, because we grew up like that. And I always say that, but it's the truth. That's how we grew up. But you looked at yourself. That's what happens with growth and when you want to develop. But even more importantly, when you want something better for your children. That's when you know you're really a parent, right? When you look at yourself and say, you know what, I need some fixing, right? I need to look at myself and say, you know what, I'm asking my children to do something that I haven't even done myself. How hypocritical. But instead of you steady saying that, you like, nah, I need this for me and my children.
That's it. And then not only that, it was just like, I used to feel bad, like, oh, I wish I had graduated from Tech in 97 when I was supposed to. And then I said, you know what, nope. Because my kids wouldn't have been there to share that experience, to root me on, to actually see. They ain't looking at a picture from 20 years ago. They saw their mother, their sister up there doing her thing. And that's what I did, you know.
That's powerful. Yeah, saw it in the flesh. You don't have to hear about my story. You're going to be right here to see it.
That's it.
And to know that I practice what I preach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, words don't teach. Action
right.
does.
Right.
Real talk. We're going to switch gears just for a little bit. Still talking about your mom. But if you don't mind, can you share what caused your mom's death?
Yeah. So my mother, she had got in a car accident that did something to her spine. And since she was heavy or overweight, you know, let the doctor say, it was really, you know, wearing on her back. So she ended up having bariatric surgery, the room Y, which is the one that's very extensive. Like they reroute her intestines and all this other crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, at the age of 43, my mom passed away from weight loss surgery.
And that's leading me, and thank you for sharing that and your transparency. But it's leading me to my question, because we're going to dive into you having surgery, fast forward, right? And I want to talk about this a little bit because, again, I know you, so it's near and dear to me, and you always empower me because you have triumphs. See, people don't understand how conversations can inspire you to keep pushing and keep fighting, right? And it doesn't matter whether it's a blood relative, a friend, whatever. Like, you can always learn something or grab something from someone. So when I hear your story, it always empowers me because, you know, a lot of people don't push past losing their mom, let alone raising their brother and then the rest of their children. Right. And so then you add that or couple that with how she passed away. Right. And then you look at yourself and now here you are suffering or battling with some weight issues, right? And you decide to go ahead and undergo surgery. So the question I have is the decision to undergo bariatric surgery, and you can explain the type of surgery, especially after experiencing loss in a similar manner, is profound, right? But I want you, can you walk us through your thought process leading up to that decision, though?
Girl, I was totally against it. I mean, even when people, after my mother passed, when people would say they got the surgery, I was like side at it. And I'm like, what? Like, why would you do? You know what I mean? I just had such a, I created my own stigma for that surgery. because of my mother. And then just being in the waiting room at the hospital, seeing other families go through the same thing from the same surgery, you know. And it was just, I was just in a bad place, you know, for that. I mean, which was understandable because I lost my mother because of it, but I didn't never think I would have a surgery. Now, I did not have the same surgery my mom had, as far as she had the room wide and I have the sleeve.
Okay.
So there's a difference. But, again, I feel like at first, man, why didn't I do this a long time ago? But I did it at the right time. Definitely, I did it at the right time.
Completely. Yeah, everything happens in divine order. We always talk about that. There are no accidents at all. You feel me? Like that, that's just the bottom line. How did you cope with the fear and uncertainty surrounding the surgery and knowing the risk involved?
I think I'm a very spiritual person, and you know, and even though I was grown, I even went to my mother's sisters and I said, I'm getting the surgery. How do y'all feel about this? Because that was important to me, you know, because it was a touchy subject for everybody, you know. Even my grandmother, my dad's side, when she was still living, I mean, I even went to her or whatever. And even after the surgery, I remember it was like a week or so after I had the surgery. And she said, you know what, when you told me I had that, you were having that surgery, I just cried. Because all I could think about was your mother. But I'm glad you had it because you look good. Because even 2 weeks, you can tell a difference in me, you know? But, it was about me, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? Because it's such a touchy subject. So I did care that what my aunts thought about it. And, I mean, to this day, I mean, they was all supportive, you know? And I was surprised because they're not going to hold back. You know, they're going to be like, girl, ain't nobody no tongues, but everybody was so supportive, and I appreciated that. So that was one thing that I'm like, okay, I'm making the right decision. So getting back to the spiritual note or whatever, I'm spiritual and I'm into numbers. And I promise, like, around the time that I would just sit and, you know, just meditate and think about it and journal about it and stuff, and I will always see 11-11, 12-12, 3-33. And I just felt like it was my mother giving me the, okay, you got this. So now my analogy that I have for this is me and my mother was running in a relay race. And she passed me the baton and I made it to the finish line for the both of us.
Oh, I love that. Every time you say that, that kind of gives me chills. Like I said, I'm a little, you know, I've heard the story. So, but still, that's what I'm saying. Anytime you can continue to hear a person's trials and then listen to their triumphs, right? That is always so positive. And then the mere fact that you chose you. Right. You didn't let fear get in the way and say, you know what? No, this happened to my mom. You know what? Instead, you said, this is not my story. This is not my story. And like you said, I'm going. And I remember you telling me, you were like, I'm going to do this for mama.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like, and then when you like, and I've just seen you excel since all of the things that I know that you've encountered, you know what I'm saying? Now, the question I have, because I have some other questions, but I'm going to get off track of that for a second, because I want people to hear what made you decide to go ahead and get that surgery. Like, what was it for you to say, you know what? I got to do this. I got to do this. So, I'm no matter what it is, like for me, like, you know, did you look at yourself? Was it a depression? Like, what pushed you to that point to say, no matter what, I got to do this for me?
I just felt like it was time for a change. It was just something inside of me was like, this ain't what it is. Like, this ain't it, you know?
Yeah.
And my doctor, you know, he had already knew how I felt about weight loss surgery. So he was like, hey, you know, I want you to go to this meeting. They're going to be talking about surgery, but I want you to really, you know, focus in on the like, it was like dietary supplements, like you're drinking soups and shakes and, you know, little stuff like that. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, still having the stigma against the surgery. I go in the meeting and, you know, I'm like with blinders on, like, I'm here for something totally different. And it was just like something. So there, I mean, they got videos and stuff playing, you know, giving you the details about how they do the surgery, recovery time. I mean, and I'm like listening, like I'm paying attention to that more so than what I'm there for. And then I'm like, okay, in my mind, it was like, I was kind of like hoping it was something that was going to stop me from getting it. Cause I said, my insurance, they ain't going to take my insurance. I'm sure, you know. I go up there, the lady that got the book with the insurance and the names, like who's accepted or not. And I said, you take my insurance? She said, yep, we do. Wow. Okay. So then it was a table. So you go and you pick the doctor that you want to do the surgery. So when I went up to the table, I see the lady that she used to work at the hospital where my mother passed away. And the lady, she used to be on commercials, and it was just because it was that lady. She wasn't the one that did my mother's surgery. But every time I would see her on this commercial after my mother passed, it was just I just associated her with that whole experience. You know what I mean? So I was like, nope, I'm not picking her. So I picked the man doctor or whatever. So it was just like everything was in my favor. Everything, it was coming to me. So I'm like, okay. So then, I mean, everything that I was supposed to do, I used to smoke cigarettes for like 18 years of my life. And that's crazy because neither one of my parents are smokers. You know, mm-hmm. It was just a habit that I picked up when my mother passed.
Okay.
And, you know, they were like, well, you need to stop smoking at least 6 weeks before I quit. And it's been, what, going on 5 years, you know, that
yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, I don't know. Like you said, I just chose me. That was it. It was just like, because, and I think it's so weird when people are scared to tell their weight that they used to weigh.
Mm-hmm.
But I was up to 435 pounds.
Wow.
I was in a 5X. Now I'm in like 1820.
Look, girl, you good, and you look good, girl.
Thank you. You know, and sometimes I be like hard on myself, like, dang, like, man, I wish, you know, I've lost more weight, which I can still, you know, I mean, but I've come a long way.
Yeah.
I've definitely come a long way. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, I mean, I do want to, you know, lose more weight, but it's for me. I'm doing it for me. You know what I mean? And to feel good and better about me, you know?
Yeah. And that's powerful. That's a powerful statement in and of itself, because a billion people could look at you, but if you don't feel good when you look at you, it does not matter what you go out here and do to yourself.
That's it.
You know? And no shade, all these people, and I'm not knocking nobody that wants to do whatever they want to do to their body. So that's not what this is about. But I'm just saying, some people go get it done thinking that it's going to keep their mate, right? And it's not, because the finest of the fine, all the BBLs in the world, people still getting cheated on and everything, right? So who did you do it for? That's not who you got to do it for you. You got to find the beauty within you first and then worry about the outside, right? So I love that, because you chose you, and you know, I love that. That's what we on right now. Choose you. And I don't care if you're male or female, choose you. When you love yourself, you pass something else to offer somebody, because you're not born from an empty cup. All right. So question I have, after overcoming so many obstacles, what motivated you to pursue a career as a master herbalist?
Well, my grandmother, she had gotten sick and diagnosed with lung cancer. She wasn't a smoker a day in her life, but she ended up having lung cancer. So I had just started buying herbs just to like make teas or, you know, just play around with, nothing really serious. And then when she got sick, it just made me think like, dang, well, let me, you know, I wasn't necessarily a green thumb beforehand, you know what I mean? But I like to, you know, grow stuff and play with stuff and, you know, like that. So I'm like, okay. So then I just did, you know, was doing a little research or whatever. And she was telling me, she was like, it made her feel better, you know, breathing. It was helping her breathing. And I'm like, So that was just like really the spark right there.
Okay.
And then I, you know, did research and found a school that I can do online and enrolled. And out of 5 semesters, I made the dean list for those 5 semesters.
You go, girl.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Because that's important. And kind of like you know, we dive into that too, because I love the herbs and, you know, research. I believe in healing. I believe we can heal ourselves. There's all kind of herbs and things out there for people to have. And I just feel like, you know, there needs to be more awareness to it. Of course, you know, we are not doctors. We don't promote anything to tell anybody to do anything medically. If you have any type of medical issues or whatever, seek emergency help, right? So we're not diagnosing anything. We're simply talking about our personal experiences. And once I started learning that these things really did work, because you made my blood pressure tea for me, my hypertension tea. And I remember I hadn't been diagnosed yet with it, but I felt like that was what it was. And then when I finally checked it, it was up. And so I took the tea with me to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And you had made me some other things to rub on and so forth, and inhaler and all of the things. And I would call you from Atlanta and be like, girl, my blood pressure went from this to this after I drank the tea, da, 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 da. You know, because I'm not one of them. I'm going to tell the truth. You know, we don't tell the truth. Right. And so that was my thing, because it just really helped me. And I'm like, okay. And I kept doing it. I kept writing it down. I kept seeing how long it took. I would tell you how long it took. So it's just testing things instead of people being so biased to think that you always have to go to a medicational drug, right? From the drugstore, right?
Right.
And so I love that. I love the fact that you have conquered so many things, you know, you going back to graduating your 40s, so many people would have said, forget it.
Yeah.
So many people would have been like, girl, listen, you, I know you better get yours though, right? But you know, you didn't do that. And then not only that, then you decide, okay, I did good with that, but I'm not done, right? I'm not done. So you go back to school, and then you get your entrepreneurship certification. Then you said, okay, I got this, and that's good. That's good for me. However, I'm not done, right? Because there's more. Because there's always another room. There's always another level. And you did, and you keep showing that. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, and I want to say that publicly, because I've watched your growth. I've watched your development. I've watched your maturity as a woman, right? As a mother, as a businesswoman, right? As a high school graduate, as a college graduate. And that's just profound to me. And I've watched you step over many hurdles, and you've had many feats. And you've conquered them all, and I'm super duper proud of you. And I wanted to say that, you know, and I know I tell you when we rapping, but I genuinely am, and just know that you empower and inspire me as well. And that's why I wanted you on here, because there's somebody, in an urban area that is thinking they can't make it, they can't do it, that they lost a parent or both parents, perhaps, that was stuck with their siblings, but they're the oldest, that had to become the mama and the daddy sometimes. And they don't think they can get through it, but here you are. I did this, and you found your way. You raised your brother, you raised your children, you went back to school, you got your surgery, you chose a healthier lifestyle, you wanted education, you wanted to implement that in your life and your children's life, winning. Like, how could you do anything but look back at yourself and say winning?
Yeah.
Real talk.
Humbly, but yes, winning.
As you should, because yeah. Humbly just reminds you to me that there is a greater force than you that helped you along the way. That's where the humbleness come in. But yet, knowledgeable enough to know that the power was within you to do.
Yeah.
Because you did it and did. Right. So listen, and I think you might have kind of answered this, but I want to know, can you share some insights into your journey of becoming a master herbalist and how it has impacted your life and those around you?
It's impacted my life because it's like, it's amazing to know that I can create something. I can go out right now and pick some dandelions out my yard and hook up somebody something for something. You know what I mean? I mean, the things to heal us is all around us and we don't even know it. I mean, things that we think is nothing but a weed. You know, people thought dandelions is nothing but a weed. That's one of the most powerful herbs out here.
That sits in our yard for free.
Yep, for free.
And we cut it.
Yep. And, you know, right now, my target market is people that look like me.
Absolutely.
Because we don't know about that. You know what I mean? Or we're just so, you know, society has us thinking that it's all about pills or whatever.
Yeah. And it's not.
And then the pills cause so many different things, you know, after effects or whatever.
Right.
Side effects.
And then understanding that it's mind, body, and spirit. You know what I'm saying? So it's collectively, you got to do some things. You know, it's not just taking herbs either.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take care of your body. You know, we're not saying you can go out and drink a ton of alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it is that you do. You know what I'm saying? You have to be mindful of your body, taking care of it. And those herbs that are natural for us help aid in the well-being of our body. But it's mind, body, soul, because the meditation, mm-hmm. that relaxes nerves and all of that. And again, we're not diagnosing. It's just things that we've tried. This is our personal mm-hmm. Life. You know, if you yeah. want to try it, try it. If you don't. We are not suggesting you do nothing medically, right? So yeah. you do your thing and check with your physician, right? But exactly. with our experiences in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm, just dealing with exercising and meditating and those things to relax the body, to relax the nerves, to mm-hmm. then add on top of that, the herbs that, you know, you make and prepare that can aid in the well-being of human beings as well. And I just think it's super duper powerful. So I am one of those people that has helped around you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I know of other people that it has helped for mm-hmm. sure, because we've had those conversations, help relieve headaches, you know, help people with sinus situations, right? And so when it's different, when people don't come back to you and let you know that it worked, but when you get confirmation, right, that's when it's powerful.
Yeah.
And rewarding, because to know that you can stand in your kitchen and mix up something that could potentially heal someone, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Potentially. We don't know. We're not doctors. We're not God or anything like that. But it's powerful. And I think that at least being open to the idea that there's something else should always be something that we look at. Like you said, we don't know what we don't know. And in the African American culture, we are so quick to digest the pill.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot quicker, because we're already stressed out of working 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. And so, listen, I'm going to take this pill and I'll keep on moving because I got stuff to do. Right. And so that's easier than me going to work out and have a healthy diet and maybe take some teas and herbs to relax my nerves and whatever, whatever. Right. So I think the awareness is imperative. And so I want to thank you for bringing that into the forefront, and thank you, you know, for following your dream, for being a master herbalist, that, you know, instead of just looking and like wanting to throw something together. No, I don't think people understand that for you to be a master herbalist, you got to know what can be mixed with what. You have to know the contraindications, right? Mm-hmm. You have to know if it can cause allergic reactions. Like, this is real stuff. This wasn't like you went to school for a week and just said, oh, I'm a master herbalist. No.
Right.
No. And that is imperative for people to know, like, you got the documentation, and, you know, I always say this, documentation beats conversation any day. So now mm-hmm. when you're speaking from a place. I remember you would be talking on the phone and you would have to dissect the plant and, you know, yeah. talk about what it was. Oh, it was just, but I loved it because, you know, I love the same thing. I love it. And so just living vicariously through you, hearing that, I'm like, this is dope, right? This is dope as hell because I'm like, damn, I'm looking at cuz, come from the hood, you know, I'm sure there were naysayers, you know, you were never in no slum or nothing like that, but just the hood where we were kind of to a degree impoverished, right? Wasn't exposed to the finer things, if you will, to a degree. Not that we didn't have education or anything, but did we have the right education? Were we exposed to the right things? We weren't taught wealth building principles and things like that. But now here you come. After all the things, all of the challenges, and you say, you know what? I'm not going to take this energy and just live the rest of my life in defeat. You're like, I'm going to be something. I'm going to be somebody because there's something, there's a higher calling for me, whatever that is. And Master Herbalist just happens to be one of the many titles, right? But with that, you can now come back with your healing journey and say, you know what? I'm going to help so-and-so to give back. That's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah. And it's very unselfish of you. It's very selfless of you to give of yourself and say, you know what, there is a better way. And for those that want to figure that way out, let's work together, right? That's cool, girl. I'm so proud of you, girl. All right. So the question is, how do you integrate your experiences? Oh, now the same question. No, that's not. How do you integrate your experiences of loss, resilience, and personal growth into your practices as a master herbalist?
I would say, I mean, like I said, I mean, I initially started doing this for my mother.
Right.
And she, oh my goodness, she loved plants. She would have plants all over the house and stuff. So it's just like, again, passing the baton to me, and I'm making it to the finish line for both of us. I mean, she would have been totally into this because her thing was pills. She had the pill book of somebody in the family. Now, let me be clear. When I say pills, like, she was just like, had the knowledge of it. She had, like I said, a pill book. And my family would be like, okay, I got this. Or I found these pills. What is this? Or whatever. You know what I mean? And
right.
She was the go-to.
As a point of reference.
Yeah. Right. 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 But yeah. So it was just like, that's how I integrated it. It was just like, I just, this is what I do. And then to find out that like one of my great-great-grandmother was a herbalist. She dealt with herbs, too, and had no idea, you know? Okay. But it's just something, I mean, like I said, growing up, we always had gardens and stuff in our backyard. My dad would make, and my grandfather had this humongous, beautiful garden and stuff. My son gardens, my 21-year-old son, he gardens, you know? So this past year, me and my kids, we grew, you know, some stuff in our yard and herbs and stuff. So it's just like, I feel like I got that, you know, I think it's just in me.
Yeah. And I could agree. I've always been intrigued by that. And, I always, like, when people would tell me their illnesses, I would just think, I'm like, there's gotta be an herbal way to cure it. You know, in my head, I would always be like, there has to be, like, and I know I get too deep with my thoughts sometimes. You know how we get. I'll be like, you know, because there's always a counter for everything. There's light, there's dark, there's left, there's right. So if there's a cancer, there's a cure, right? If there's a, right, cough, there's some sort of cure or remedy. There has to be a remedy. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we know it. I'm just saying there has to be somewhere, right? And so I was just always intrigued by it, you know. I remember having a young lady, she didn't have a cycle, you know, I'll never tell the person's name or anything like that, but, you know, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful because she hadn't had one for a while, and I mixed her up a tea, lickety flickety wrist. She's been having her cycle ever since I made it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just the little things that, you know, not having the knowledge, Not having the knowledge. People don't know what they don't know. So that's what I mean. Like, instead of being so biased to be like, girl, maybe just check it out, research it a bit. Because a lot of what people don't know is that a lot of the medications come from the herbal plants that are already.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the thing, you know. So anyway, I want to ask you this. What advice would you give to others who are facing similar challenges and seeking to find healing and empowerment in their lives?
As long as you got breath still in you, it's never too late. And do that. And you deserve it. You owe it to yourself. For real.
Boom. Boom. Because that's it. Right? Always. And I think I did a video earlier. Choose you. Yeah. Always choose you. Like, people think that when I say that, I'm saying that you shouldn't be cognizant or respectful of your mate. That is not what I'm saying when I say choose you. Like, you should always, if you're in a relationship, both parties should be willing to compromise and, you know, open up and all of the things and talk. But if I can't choose me and my happiness in the relationship just so you can be happy, we can't come to a happy medium where, okay, babe, you want to do this today and I want to do this. Let me do it tomorrow then, you know, okay. Or this weekend we'll do what you want and then next weekend. But when it's just like, well, no, I just don't want to do that because I just don't like it, but you want me to go with you. Then now, are we compromising? Are we just, right? So it's just choose you, no matter what the situation is, because everything that I heard you say, you chose you. Even though you were just existing, the reason why I say that is because you could have given up and not chose you. Had you given up, who would they have had? So you chose you. You chose to fight. You chose to not give up. That in and of itself is powerful. So it's just existing in that moment of your life or not. That's where you found your strength. That's where you found your tenacity, your fight. That's where you said, you know what, against all odds, I can't give up because now I got my brother. My brother needs me and I got my son. I got to do this. And did. From somebody. No. So last question. Looking back at your journey, what do you feel most proud of and what lessons have you learned along the way that you would like to share with the listeners?
I think I would say I'm most proud of graduating at the age of 42. That was just something for me, very empowering for me. But I think maybe even over that, just choosing me finally, you know, I'm kind of disappointed in myself that it took me so long too, but that was still a part of my journey. So I had to go through it. So I'm not, you know.
Yeah. And that's real. And I like what you said, go through the journey. A lot of people want to miss the process, the journey. But the journey is what got you here.
Absolutely.
The reflection, the looking back, the determining. Well, and here's the thing too. How would you know what you don't, what you do like, if you never experience what you don't? Right? How would you know that it hurt if you never experienced it?
All right.
How would you know it felt good if you never experienced it? So... you know, I think that we should embrace the journey a little bit more, because what it sounds like is once you start choosing you,
right,
the journey was easier to go through because now you've opened up yourself to receive instead of fighting at every turn. Why? Because you chose you. You started to love you. You started to want more, desire more. Now, I don't care if you were 62. You were woman enough to look at your children, like I said, and your family and say, you know what? First and foremost, I owe this to myself. I owe this to me. And then secondly, I owe it to my children because I will not procrastinate. I will not be a hypocrite. Right. I will not look at my children and do this. And again, I'm super duper proud of you because you have done so many things in your journey, from losing your mom, from raising your brother, from raising
even,
your
even
children.
Before that, I'm sorry to cut you off, but even before
please
that,
do,
you
get
know,
into it.
I came from a two-parent home, so my parents are married 23 years before my mom passed, but my dad's an alcoholic, you know, a serial cheater, you know what I mean? Like, so I came from some stuff, you know, getting molested at a young age, you know, so I came from some real dark things even before my mother passed. That was just added on to it, you know,
right,
and everybody has a story. They do, but you can't use it as a crutch to say, okay, this is just what it is. I'm accepting, you know, low vibrational men. I'm accepting, you know, just
disrespect.
Toxicness and, you know, just all this other crazy stuff.
Abuse.
Yeah.
All of the things. Yeah. And I'm glad you went back because that's important too, because it's a part of your journey. Right.
Absolutely.
Because it molds us into who we are. We're seeing abuse. We're experiencing abuse. And then we're turning around and parenting.
Right.
And of course, trying to be better, but still broken because we ain't love ourselves. So think about all of the hurt and the things that you experience while raising your children compared to your life now while raising your younger children. Right.
Right.
So it's like, even though your older son and your brother, they got the best of you, but they got the best of you in fight mode.
Right.
Now your younger children plus your older children, your slash brother, they get the best of you healed.
Right.
That's powerful. Right. So it doesn't matter when you do it. And I heard you say, you know, you kind of disappointed in yourself, but don't be. And I know it's your journey. And you, you know, we always rap about this, but don't be, Nisha, because again, I know your journey. You've let these people know a little bit, you know, but you know, the molestation, abuses, then losing parents. And then let's talk about it, losing your grandmother, who was the next best thing to being your mom. Come on. So it's like, all I'm saying is, and I'm bringing that up because people, when if I'd have been through hell was a person, you'd be right there with your face, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
and on some real stuff, like, I really feel like I couldn't let myself, because I felt myself slipping when my grandmother passed. And I couldn't. And it seemed like that's how I ended up on the dean's list. Cause I just went hard in the book, like a distraction. And it was a good distraction.
Absolutely.
Beforehand, it wouldn't have been a good distraction. You know what I mean?
Real talk.
So that was definitely growth that I seen in myself, that I poured into myself. I was like, I won't let this depression, you know, get to me. I felt my eating patterns, you know, going back to the old me, you know, you know,
and again, that strength and that resilience. And I mean, while we talking about it, let's go ahead on and add in what you walked away from. You walked away from an engagement. You chose you. That's when you blew my damn mind. Listen, cousin, not on no disrespectful stuff. And I say this all the time because again, it's powerful because instead of you going ahead getting married, and I'm going to let you tell your own story, but instead of you going ahead getting married, you looked at yourself after everything that you had gone through, surgery, everything. And you said, you know what? This will not be my happily ever after. This ain't going to be it. And instead of taking that ring and just doing it for the title, you said, hell no. You said, no ma'am, no ham. Talk about that, please, a little bit.
Yeah, so probably like a month after my grandmother had passed, my youngest son's father, he proposed to me. And I mean, I can't take nothing away from proposal. It was nice, sweet, beautiful, all that. But it didn't, I guess, I mean, I feel still that it didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was just, yeah. On the journey to loving myself and seeing what I deserve, I knew he wasn't giving me anything that I would deserve. Beforehand, yeah. I think it was just like, you know, you get used to stuff. I mean, regardless of what it is, you just get used to it. And that's just what it was. Right. I got used to him being around. Just because that's what it was. But I felt like when I had to ask myself, because, I mean, I take care of my children. They don't go without lights, food, clothing, shelter, you know, going out to do fun stuff. I mean, I do it all by myself. I've done it all by myself since they all been in the world, you know, so. I don't, you know, when I had the question, are you with me because you see that I handle my business?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you with me because you actually love me? And the fact that I had to even ask that question, you ain't the one for me.
That. I love, girl, again, goosebump bumps, because so many people just want the, my husband.
Nah. Huh.
Regardless.
You didn't add no value. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that like now. I'm saying it now because I'm in a different space. I can see he added no value to me in no way.
And that's okay to say, though. What's wrong with that? That's the thing. If we start being real, a lot more people will start like these conversations, because somebody out here feeling this.
Yeah.
Somebody out here going through to hear your story, and not somebody. And you know, my famous, I don't care if I reach one, that we've done our job. Somebody needs to hear that there is a better way out. And if you choose you, if you decide, because it has to be a decision. Because the thing about it is, healing is not for the weak either, cousin.
Right.
It's not for the weak. Healing looks like you really going deep inside and looking at who you really are. We be thinking we healing. Yeah, because I heal from him. No. You got to heal from you.
That's it.
That deep subconscious stuff that you hold on to when you was growing up, and, you know, so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and so-and-so called you ugly, or so-and-so called you fat, or so-and-so said you wasn't shit, or whatever the situation was going to be, right? And so with that being said and that being done, it's like, that molds you, that shapes you, that can tear your self-esteem down, that can destroy you. And what I love about you, and see, I want people to hear some of the things you said. Like, you said you were 400, and I'm sorry, did you say 35 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
You had the surgery after losing a parent who had something similar, but irregardless, along the bariatric surgery deal. You, after losing, and I know I don't have everything in sequence, but I'm just saying, after losing your mom, had to become an instant parent, an instant mother. Raising your brother, and then on top of it, your own child. You had your surgery, then your grandma, who was still there for you, ended up passing away, who was your best friend, and I know that for a fact. Then after that, you get proposed to, and you say, you know what? I see the signs. I've come too far. I'm not doing this. No, thank you. Then, on top of all of that, you say, you know what, I want no GED. I want my high school diploma, because that's what I told my children to get. So I'm going to model what it looks like. I'm going to be the example. Then you turn around, and after you get done with that, like I said, I'm going to repeat it again, because I think people need to hear how profound this is. Once you chose you. Right. This was after the struggle and the fight and all that, because you never gave up. But the struggle and the fight is important, so people can understand that you had to go through something to get to where you are. And the only way you did that was by not giving up. And I think people need to understand that. Some people are so ready to give up when they can be one step away, one prayer away, one call away, one whatever away from their blessing, if they decide not to quit and choose them. It's okay to love everybody else. Absolutely. I love you. But I can't put you before me. I love my children, but I cannot even put my adult children before me. Now, we gonna go all out about my kids, right? But that's not what I'm saying. I've got to pour into me. Because if I don't pour into me, I have nothing to give anybody else. And then I'm going to resent everybody else because they're pulling from something from me that I do not have. And then I didn't have sense enough to replenish it. But what I love about you is in spite of all of that, in spite of all the kickups and all of the things, like you said, we're going to start with what you said. You chose you. You chose you. And I am... again, so proud of you. And I can't wait to see the blessings that continue to unfold for you. And I wish nothing but favor over your life. Many blessings. I wish you to excel beyond the sky because there is no cap and there is no ceiling.
Thank you.
So before we get off, though, I just wanted to know if there's anything you would like to leave the listeners with, any information, any last words that you want to leave them with before we close out.
First of all, I just want to say thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure talking to you tonight, as always, but it was just good. So thank you for, you know, even wanting to share my story with everyone. Coming soon. I have a business called Keeping It Lit. And I was talking to my best friend the other day and she was like, you know what? Because I have conflict of, you know, making just holistic things and then other things. And she was like, maybe you can just have it like, so like for my sweets, keeping it sweet, keeping it holistic, keeping it lit. You know what I mean? So it'd be like different branches off of it. So it'd be keeping it brands.
Yeah, that's tight. I like that.
Yeah, and podcast, keeping it real, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things I have in the works. But if anybody needs any herbal remedies, I mean, for high blood pressure, diabetes, insomnia, menstrual cramps, PCOS, I mean. Hit me up, Nisha G on Facebook. I do have a Keeping It Lit page. So when I was in school, I just kind of put everything on hold as far as my business and stuff. But this is something that I'm definitely going to have up and running this year, for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. And did you give your Gmail account? I mean, your Gmail for Keeping It Lit? I didn't hear it.
No, it's Keeping It Lit For Me. So it's KEEPIN. ITLIT, the number 4, ME at gmail.com. So that's awesome. The email for Keeping It Lit. And like I said, for even things that I didn't mention, if you want it, I can make it. I'm actually working on a beard oil.
Okay.
Right now. Yep. So that'll be coming out soon.
I heard that. She said, you want it, I can make it. You want it, I got it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, cousin Nisha G, I want to thank you so much for coming on my platform and being raw and transparent, just telling the truth, just coming on, telling your story, exposing yourself, because we here in Indianapolis, you know, people know you, you know what I'm saying? And I want them to know you. I want them to hear your story. I want somebody to be empowered by what you've experienced and hear, but again, hear your overcoming, hear your success story, hear that they too can do it. Hear it through verbal mirrors, reflecting understanding. That's what it is about. Not judging, but reflecting that understanding, because we literally are verbal mirrors, right? And that's all we need, is to sit down and have these conversations, see what people come from, see what the need is, and see what people have to offer and band together so that we can help one another. And so you are definitely a catalyst for that, especially when it comes to aiding in our holistic healing. And so I just want to thank you again for coming on. So, ladies and gentlemen, you already know what it is. We had an amazing time. We want to thank you, our guests, our listeners, for listening on this podcast. I hope you have thoroughly enjoyed what you have heard. Again, she's given all her information, Miss Nisha G. She's giving you her Facebook information. So check her out. Listen, let's support one another. You already know that you can catch us on podbean.com. You can catch us on spotify.com, iheart.com. You can catch us on YouTube. You can also catch us on amazon.com. And so we are on several different platforms. Check us out. Share this information, right? Let people hear it so they can get in tune with what we are doing. And once again, we want to thank you. And as usual, we appreciate you being on, and we'll see you next week. So we're going to close us out with our song. You know how we do. Have a good one. Thank you. As we wrap up another episode of Verbal Mirrors Reflecting Understanding, we encourage you to carry the reflection sparked here into your daily interactions. Let the echoes of diverse perspective guide your journey towards greater empathy and connection. Thank you for being a part of our dialogue. Until next time, may your mirrors of understanding continue to reflect a world filled with compassion and unity.